Luke chapter 1, we'll start in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it's almost Christmas time, so I figured we'd learn a little bit about Jesus' birth or before he was born. And so Luke chapter 1, verse number 26 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent forth from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. So we're going to look at the middle of that verse where it says, thou that art highly favored. And also, if we look down in verse number 30, it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And that's what we're going to emphasize tonight, finding favor with God. And what does that mean? So let's open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to preach, Lord. And I just pray that it would not be my words, Lord, but what you want me to say, Lord. And I pray that you'd be with us tonight, help us to just learn from your word tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says, Mary found favor with God. Now, what is favor? Favor is the dictionary definition says, endued with special honor. It basically means to be accepted. If I have a favorite kind of ice cream, it's the kind of ice cream that I accept the most, so to speak. God found favor in Mary's life. He found favor in her character, in her attitude, in her lifestyle, her faith. He found favor in her character. So I just want to compare that to, would God find, the title of my sermon tonight is, have I found favor with God? Would God find favor in my life if he examined different parts of it? The first part that I want to examine, if we could turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Is my attitude, my mindset. Would God find favor with the way I think about things, with the way I go throughout my life, my attitude towards different people, towards different situations? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, a very common verse says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have the same mindset that God had. And we're going to get into a couple different things with that. The first thing that about our attitude and mindset that we need to think about is our attitude toward different people, our attitude toward different people. Now, there's basically two types of people. There's saved people and there's unsaved people. And how is our attitude towards them? Other Christians, even if someone's saved, people can say things that hurt us. Things say mean things. Things can get to us. I have this illustration I saw, and some of you might have seen this before, but if I had a briefcase up here with $86,400 in it, that's a lot of money, right? Kind of a random number. $86,400, that'd be pretty nice. And if I was carrying that and I dropped $10 of that, I mean, yeah, it stinks I dropped $10, but I still have $86,390 left, right? Like, it's not that big of a deal. And well, when someone says something to us throughout our day, it might only be 10 seconds for them to say something mean to us, but we can still have a good day. There's 86,400 seconds in a day. If someone takes 10 seconds of that and says something kind of mean to us or kind of gets us down a little bit, we still have 86,390 seconds that we can live for God and bring glory to him. And that's something I like to think about a little bit. So that's how our attitude needs to be if people say something kind of mean to us. We just kind of got to let it roll off our back. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a good verse to have memorized. If we turn to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 41. And how should our attitude be toward unsaved people, towards unbelievers, lost people? Mark chapter 1, verse 41, we need to have compassion on them. Verse 41 says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched them, and saith unto them, I will, be thou clean. There's all kinds of verses through the New Testament that says, but he had compassion on them. But he humbled himself and had compassion. We see humble and compassion go hand in hand a lot of times throughout the Bible. And we just need to not think highly of ourselves, more highly than other people. So do we have compassion? Do I have compassion in my heart? When I see someone, when I'm walking down the street, when I see someone, do I have compassion on them? Do I hand them a tract? Do I tell them about Jesus? Do I have compassion on them? So if we think about an unsaved, kind of rough character, what we think about is probably smokes, drinks, and they have tattoos, right? That's kind of what we think about an unsaved, rough character. Like, that's kind of like a profile, you could say. But how's my attitude toward them? They're still a Christian who needs, I mean, they're still a lost person who needs the Bible, right? They're still a lost person who needs to hear about God. Would I be quick to judge them and be like, wow, they got a long way to go? Or would I have compassion on them and give them a track and let them know they need to hear about Jesus too? So that's something I like to think about. If the only people that I invite to church are people who dress the same as me, act the same as me, look the same as me, then I might not necessarily be inviting the right people to church. If people who come to church already believe the same way I do, already have the same standards that we have, already, you know, memorized the Bible, they probably already know our church is here. They probably already know there's a Baptist church around. We need to reach the people who don't know about God, the people who don't look like us. We're supposed to win the lost. We're not supposed to win the already saved. Now, we do need to be a witness and a light in the world, but our focus needs to be on the lost. If we turn to Mark 16, verse 15, we're supposed to tell everyone about God. This is a very common verse. I would say most of you probably know this verse. Mark 16, 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, there's some creatures out there. I went to college in Connecticut. And Waterbury, Connecticut is one of the poorest neighborhoods in, I think, the United States. And let me tell you, there's some creatures there on my bus route. There's some interesting people that we get to witness to. I had the opportunity, I was with a friend of mine from college. He was one of those people from college where you can get along with him, but he might not be, you know, your best friend there. So I get the privilege of being with him on visitation on a Saturday morning. And we go out and we're door knocking, and like, there's kind of, like, door-knocking etiquette, I guess you could learn. You can learn that in TNT. Like, you don't really, like, walk across someone's yard when you're going up to the door. If, like, you walk up to the door, you don't stand, like, at the door and, like, look in. And there's just some things that, like, you know, he might not have had, like, down. But, you know, we were making the best of it, and I was kind of, like, you know, just, I was trying to get out of there without getting shot. Like, it was a sketchy neighborhood. And we knock on this door, and this elderly man comes to the door. And we got to talking to him. And his name was Raymond. And Raymond, he was an interesting guy. He said that just yesterday the Jehovah's Witnesses were there, and they were going to be back tomorrow. So we got in there between them. But the Jehovah's Witness who was there, he must have not got as far as he wanted to get, because he left me and my friend Brandon a little bit of an opening to talk to him. And he was like, he was all about this guy. He goes, I don't usually like religious people, but this guy was nice. He has a family. He's bringing his family back tomorrow to meet with me. And so he really liked him. So he was like, so what do you have to say? So we went through the plan of salvation with him, and we explained kind of like the differences a little bit. We didn't get too involved in the Jehovah's Witnesses. We were just more involved in showing him what we believe, what the Bible says. And after we brought that out, we were able to lead him to the Lord. And we got to be careful not to profile people in our mind that we don't witness to them. And if we so we got to have a good attitude towards lost people. We also got to check our attitude towards problems, situations, trials in our life that come up. If we turn to Matthew chapter 7, we got to check our attitude toward trials, situations, and problems. Would God find favor in our attitude? That's what we're comparing our lives to. Would God find favor in our attitude? So Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 11 says, if ye then, being evil, know to give good gifts unto your children. That verse has got to be talking about Christmas, because it's talking about, you know, giving good gifts to your children. You guys can listen back there in case, you know, Christmas is coming up. Good gifts to your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? All we have to do is ask him. And all we have to do is ask God to help us with our attitude. If we look at Psalm 34, in verse number 10, Psalm 34 in verse number 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God's going to provide us with all the things that we need if we seek the Lord. So we got to keep our attitude in check about a problem or a situation. It's easy to let prayer be the last resort when we come to a problem, but that needs to be our first option. So we got to make sure we have the right mindset when we come to a problem. If we think back to the verse in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have the right mindset when we come to it. If we have a situation or a problem come up, I can ask myself, how would God deal with this? How would God go about this? And we can trust on him to get us through that situation. If God allowed that situation to happen, he knows the way out of it. He knows how to solve it. He knows how to get us through it. We can trust on him to get us through it. We can trust on him to provide for us. We might be in a situation or a trial longer than expected because we're not fully relying on him to take it from us. We might still be trying to do it ourselves. And if we think about that, the first thing we got to do when we come to that is we got to pray about it. The first thing when something comes up like that is we got to pray about it. That's got to be our first option, not our last, our first option. Which brings me to point number two, how is our prayer life? Would God find favor with our prayer life? It can be easy to pray for things we want. I can go to bed at night and I can pray for a new car, a lot of money, a four-wheeler, a new gun, all kinds of stuff that I want. But I got to pray about a lot more than just things that I want. I got to pray about things that maybe I don't want. Maybe praying to get involved in a ministry, which I'll get into in a minute. So it can be easy to pray for things we want, but what about other things? What about praying for someone? Maybe someone you don't really get along with. Could be a coworker, could be a family member, a relative. And it's not always, I learned this at college because there was people that I didn't necessarily get along with great. And I started out, Lord, help them. Lord, help them to change. And then I realized that I got to pray for me to change, that the Lord's got to give me compassion in my heart for that person. The Lord's got to change my spirit about it. So don't always just pray for the other person or don't always pray for the situation to change, but pray that God would give you the right attitude toward that person or toward that situation. So we need to pray. If we go to Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Mark 9, verse 29. Mark 9, verse 29 says, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We need to pray about a lot of different things. It could be situation. It could be people. We can pray about our attitude, too. We can pray that God would keep it in check, that he would keep us having the right spirit and the right mindset towards different things. We need to pray about our involvement in ministry. When was the last time that I prayed and asked God for a ministry that I can plug into? When was the last time I prayed and asked God to use me? is there a ministry that he would have me serve in that I'm not in? It could be a ministry that I don't necessarily want to do, but if I ask God to help me have the right attitude and compassion toward the people in that ministry or towards the people it would be working with, then he'll help me with that. So when was the last time that we prayed for God to put us in a ministry, for God to use us? Point number three is God helps us with our compassion. How is our compassion? Will God find favor with our compassion towards others, towards the lost? Towards new Christians, towards people in general. God commands us to have compassion towards others. If we can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll get to that in a minute. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 10. How is my compassion towards other believers? Am I always comparing myself to other people? If I take me and another person. In college, me and my one good friend, he was here. His name is Josh. We already took most of classes the whole way through college. We were freshmen together. Every time we get done with a test and we get our grades back, we're like, what'd you get? We're seeing who got the better grade. We're seeing who did better, right? We're comparing ourselves. Well, it wasn't just comparing ourselves. There was different things that had to go along with that. We'd be like, well, you spent half an hour studying for that and you got a 83, and I spent 15 minutes studying for it, and I got an 80. So, like, I'll take that difference, is like what my mindset is. But in our studies, if we would not compare ourselves and we just both gave our best to studying, or we just both gave our best and applied to that subject, we'd both get a way better than grade than who can study the least amount of time and get the highest grade. One thing some of my friends like to do in college, I actually didn't do this. They would see who could get the closest grade to failing but still pass. So at my school, it was a 66 to pass, and they'd be like, they usually didn't last a whole semester, but they'd be like, let me see how close of a grade I can get to that and still pass. But if we just give it our all, if we don't try to just do the bare minimum, if we just give our all in our studies and our devotions, if we don't just try to do it for, well, I read the Bible for 5 minutes, but if we don't set a timer, we just read the Bible and let God talk to us, then he's going to use that. If we stop comparing ourselves to other Christians, he's going to grow us at a faster rate. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. If I look at this believer and this believer, and this believer's won 3 people to the Lord last year, and this believer's won 2, and he's thinking to himself, well, I'm doing better than them, so God's got to be more happy with me than he is with them. I went to more church services than they did. God's got to be more happy with me than he is with them. But if we stop comparing ourselves and just let God grow us at the rate he wants to grow us, he's going to do way more great things for us. It's very simple. Like, the Bible doesn't get much more clear than that. And comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not wise to compare ourselves. It's wise to pray and say, God, just use me. God, thank you for letting so-and-so be able to win 2 people to the Lord last night or last year. How many would you have me this year, Lord? Please put people in my life that I can witness to. And that comes down to our compassion. Do we have compassion for other people? And as I close, the 3 questions. Do I have the right attitude toward things? Would God find favor with my attitude? Would God find favor with my mindset? Do I have the same mind that Jesus had? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do I have his mindset? Has my prayer life found favor with God? If God looked at my prayer life, would he be like, wow, he prays for 30 seconds every day before he eats. He eats 3 meals. That's 10 seconds at each meal. Would he find favor with that? Or would he find favor with, wow, he actually takes time out of his day and prays. Prays for other people. He prays for the lost. He prays for his fellow Christians. He prays for his church. We never run out of things to pray for. And would God find favor with the compassion that I have in other people? Would God find favor with how I care for other people? Compassion is all about caring. It's all about loving. It's all about helping other people, so to say. Would God find favor with my compassion?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.